Hello, class. This is Reverend Calhoun again. We're going to continue our teaching on the spirit of honor. And last week we started on the subject of how to build honor. And the first way of building honor, as we stated last week, was you need to walk in wisdom. And so we're going to continue from the walking in wisdom. And there's 10 steps that we're going to cover in the next two sessions on how to build honor. I'm going to start off with a word of prayer, and then after that, we'll get right into the lesson. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. I trust, Lord God, hallelujah, that your will be done in heaven and in earth, Lord God. And that, Lord God, that each student is getting everything they need out of each class, Lord God, to better enable them, Lord God, to do the work that you have called them to do. We thank you for our Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., the first family, Lord God. We thank you for ever-increasing Word Training Center, Lord God. We thank you for the vision and the agenda that you have given us, Lord God. And we thank you right now, hallelujah, that that agenda is being carried out, praise God, in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, as always, if you don't show up in my class, I'm going to fall on my face. So I'm leaning and depending and relying upon you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so in this teaching, we're going to look at the subject on how to build honor. Sometimes we have ministries and minister leaders that disqualify themselves. And in doing so, it seems that their ministries are crippled. Remember we talked about last week that they're living in low-level living or Lodabar, where Mephibosheth was, unable to progress and develop. But there is a way in which this crippling effect can be turned by building honor in themselves. And that's what we're going to talk about. There is a proper etiquette and that must be followed. There are rules of engagement. There is a certain type of protocol that needs to be done in order for us to successfully build honor. Unfortunately, there are many prominent young gifts in the body of Christ that are immature, sometimes even untrained, and they don't have exposure to spiritual protocol. So how to properly show respect to spiritual leaders and dignitaries who have rank in ministry. As a direct result, they say things against these dignitaries or these apostles, these prophets, these spiritual leaders that actually in turn cripple their ministry. One of the things I've always stated, you never want to put your mouth on a man of God. Never want to put your mouth on a man of God. Amen. You're observing spiritual protocol when you honor the gift in men, the ranks that God has placed in the body of Christ. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. I'm going to read that again. You are observing protocol when you honor the gifts in men, the ranks that God has placed in the body of Christ. This is giving honor to whom honor is due. And that's so very important. The word protocol is a set of rules governing a format of exchange or messaging exchange between people or between apostolic leaders and their sons and their daughters. It's a set of rules of engagement, protocol. Amen. Just give you an example. A minister could be watching a broadcast on TBN or some other Dove network, and they may see a minister ministering, and they may say or dishonor. I'm just using, you know, some random names like a Benny Hinn or Joel Osteen or whatever, by saying something disrespectful, not understanding that they are actually sowing seeds of dishonor. We want to show you how you can actually build honor. And I got another comment here, and like I said, I'm a repeater. You never want to put your mouth on a man of God. I even remember one time watching a movie, and a very prominent celebrity in the entertainment industry in the movie makes a wise crack about a very prominent minister. And I'm saying, don't they know that this is disrespect? Amen. Okay, last week we discussed Jabez, if you remember, in our session, where the scripture says that Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, simply because despite the fact that he was disadvantaged and despite the fact that he had struggles in his early years, he did not put his mouth on his mother. He kept his spirit pure, and he would not in any way defame, criticize, or speak ill against his mother. That also goes doubly for when you don't put your mouth on spiritual leaders, when you know, always speak blessings and pray for them. Amen. That's what made him so honorable, more honorable than his brethren, so that he had his prayer request that seems to be so colossal and somewhat unreasonable in terms of volume. But the Bible says God answered his prayers. And why was it that God answered his prayers? Was because of the degree and the level of honor he showed his mother. And we talked about that last week. By the degree and the level of honor, even though he might have been disadvantaged, lived on the wrong side of the tracks, didn't know his father, you know, his mother bore him in sorrow, but Jabez honored his mother. He respected her. He waited on her. He was there for her. And by doing so, the Lord answered his request, even as colossal as it might have been. Amen. Praise God. That's what made him more honorable than his brethren, so that he had his prayer request, like I said, that seemed so colossal and unreasonable, but God answered his request. So we're going to start off again with the first way to build honor. And that first way to build honor is you must walk in wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. You know, above all thy getting, get understanding, get wisdom, get understanding. Proverbs 3 and 13 through 16 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. She, wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire cannot be compared to her. Verse 16 says, length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. So we're talking about honor. And in the left hand of wisdom is riches and honor. So when you get wisdom, you get length of days, so your days are prolonged. You know, when you walk in, because God will give you wisdom on how to maintain your body, how to get proper rest. I remember there was times years ago when I wasn't feeling well, and it was just not properly taking care of my body. And we were at a museum in New Orleans, and my son, he was young. And the Lord began to speak to me about what I need to do. Number one, eat properly. Number two, get proper rest, exercise, just doing the things that I wasn't doing to keep my body up. And a month or two, everything got back in line, and God blessed, you know. But anyway, pray for wisdom in order that you may build honor. God will give you godly wisdom. One of the scriptures I use a lot, and is, you know, it comes in James, where it talks about, you know, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and unabraded not, but let him ask in faith. You know, so the first thing you have to pray for is wisdom to build honor. I ask God often for apostolic wisdom when I'm ministering to people, so that the same wisdom that's on apostle can also be on my life. Because even though I'm not an apostle, but I can't operate in the apostolic, and I could tap into my man of God's apostolic wisdom. Wisdom is the first thing you must walk in order to start building honor in your life. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's biblical, it's scriptural to pray for wisdom. In order to build anything, you must start off with a solid foundation. When you're building a house, when I built my house about a year and a half ago, it took them, the dirt guy, 3 or 4 months to build the foundation up. I wanted my house to sit up high. I wanted at least 3 to 4 steps walking up into the house. So the pad had to be built up. And one of the things he informed me, he said, the dirt on the surface of the property that I bought was the type of dirt that cracked, and it was, you know, he called it blackjack. He said it's not a good dirt to build a house foundation on because it cracks. And he showed me some of the cracks in the yard, and you could take a stick and put that stick down in that crack. That stick would go down 12, sometimes 14, 15 inches before you hit another patch of solid dirt. It was just a crack that opened up. And he said, you don't want to put a concrete slab over a foundation like that. He said, but what we can do, he said, you got a lot of property. He says, I would like to build a pond in the backyard. And after we get about 4 feet deep into digging the pond, we're going to run into a different type of soil, which is going to be clay soil. And he said, that clay soil is going to make a much better foundation. No, I'm taking my time, but I'm just kind of showing you the importance of a foundation. Now, my builder was ready to build. He was kind of annoyed because he was ready to build after July the 1st when I got approval from a loan to start building. But we didn't actually start building actually until January of that next year, because all the time from that point on, the foundation was being laid. And I told him, not until my dirt guy tells me he's finished with the foundation, get the compaction test done and everything we need to make sure it was solid. You know, and I said all of that to say this: in order to build anything, you must start with a solid foundation. Wisdom is a solid foundation to build upon. I shared another illustration a while back of how when my dad built his house, a concrete slab brick house, when before he built the house, he and I had went fishing, and he went to the corner of the house on the side, and he dug a hole to put the fish heads and the guts and all that in there. And the more he dug, the more garbage came out of that hole. You know, first it was a little dirt, then it was cans and bottles. And then he came to the realization that whoever had the property, whoever built the house and put the house on it, it was a house that's set up on pillars. They built it over some type of dump, or somebody put a lot of garbage in there. So what he did, he had, before he built the concrete slab house, he had them dig all that out and backfilled it with dirt. But back then, they didn't do compaction tests. So shortly after it was backfilled and rolled over with a heavy roller to kind of pack it down, they started building. But that dirt hadn't settled yet. The compaction wasn't where it needed to be. And we lived in that house for 40 so more years. And he went on to be with the Lord. My mom was living there. And then she noticed in the back of the new house, the walls started to separate. And I remembered immediately what had happened. And I told mom, I said, that dirt that daddy put in that hole is beginning to settle. So she had to call a foundation company to build it back up and put some pylons and you know, jack it up, you know, which they did, and now it's solid. But even after probably 40 plus years, if it wasn't built up on a solid foundation, that foundation gave way. And I'm taking the time with just the foundation just to let you know how important, from my own personal experience, a good solid foundation is. You know, so I made sure when I built that my foundation was solid. Amen. Okay, let's go to James 1, 2, and 5. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unabraded not, and it shall be given him. It is important to pray for wisdom. It's so very important to pray for wisdom. Give you another illustration. For some reason, I'm full of illustrations today. Several years ago at church, Apostle would always make the statement, he didn't want no soliciting taking place. Don't peddle your own business or you know, do any selling in or around the church property, because, you know, that's not, you know, that's not what this church and what the vision is called to do. And one individual, despite being told not to do it, was doing it anyway. I happened to see the person t- talking to some people, and it just puzzled me. I wonder what she's talking to these two individuals about, you know. And when she saw me going in that direction, she immediately turned and went somewhere else. And the couple I was headed to, they started talking to somebody else, so I ended up turning and going out the side door. But it bothered me, and it was on my mind even after service. My wife and I went home, we changed, and we were going to go out to eat a late dinner. And I'm telling this to my wife. My wife said, well, just ask God to give you wisdom and understanding about what was happening. So I said, Lord, I thank you, that you clarify and give me the wisdom that I need so I can know how to deal with this, if this is something that needs to be dealt with, and bring this information, to the next level, to church, for its leadership. And no sooner had I prayed that prayer, when I say no sooner, probably 5 minutes, 3 minutes, I get a phone call. And it was a couple that, was involved in this situation where the lady was talking to him about a business deal. And the lady said, Brother Greg, you need to talk to so-and-so, because she's, trying to get my husband to get involved in this thing. And I said, okay. And I talked to both of them. And I said, yeah, I said, I saw, but I wasn't sure. I said, I just prayed, and you guys called me, so God gave me the answer right then and there. So immediately we called the church, or called leadership. It was a Sunday evening, so nobody was at church, but we did call the person who I report to. They sent that up to Apostle. And then 20, 30 minutes later, we get a call back from Apostle saying that this individual got put out of the church because they were told more than once not to do this. And the Bible says that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And he said she was asked to leave. And I said, whoa. But, this is a illustration in wisdom, but it's also an illustration which we're going to get step 9, which is going to be next week, in protecting your leader, looking at things and seeing things that's not right, and protecting his anointing, protecting the leader from people that's trying to come in to infiltrate the church. Okay. All right. The first step in building honor is developing, and developing honor is growing in wisdom. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, both of them grew in different ways, but Jesus grew in wisdom and grace. He increased in wisdom. So step 1 of building honor is developing wisdom in your life. And we're going to read some scriptures out of Proverbs now. Proverbs 2, and I have here 1 through 19. Whether or not I'll read it all, I don't know. But we're going to start. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my word and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding. For if thou seek her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Listen to this, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk upright. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, and every good path. When you have wisdom, you're going to understand and know every good path for your life. Amen. When wisdom entered into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. That word discretion, God will give you the right discretion, or I won't even a stronger word, discernment. He'll give you the discernment you need to know, even though what you see and what your eyes look to be the right way to go, but God says, no, that's not the path that I want you on. That path's going to lead to destruction. It may look good now, but it's going to crumble in years to come. And I've seen that happen with my life. I'm not going to get into it, but I wanted to go a particular path. And the Lord said, no. When I prayed, the Lord said, he said, his exact words was, begin to seek my face. In other words, I was seeking, believing God for a mate. He said, don't seek a mate. He said, seek me. Begin to develop begin to develop who you are in Christ, and find out who you are, and begin to develop the life of God that's already on the inside of you, and the mate will come. And sure enough, it did. And it kept me going down the wrong path. What looked to be a great path to go down, but it wasn't God's design and desire for me. And I'll leave that alone. To deliver thee, this is verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the path that speaketh forward, or the man that speaketh forward things, who leads the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. You see, sometimes you be in a situation and you might be dealing with a person or an individual, and it may look like they're going in the way of uprightness, but they're going to walk in the ways of darkness. Who rejoices to do evil and delights in the forwardness of wickedness, whose ways are corked, and they forward in their path, in the corked paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger who flattereth with her lips, for which forsake the God of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God, for her house inclines to death, and her path leads to death. None that go into her return again, neither take hold of the path of life. That scripture there defined what God did for me. Amen. All right, let's move on. Trying to see if I need to read. I'm going to read a little bit more. This is coming from Proverbs 8. Does not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the path. She cried at the gates, at the entrance of the city, at the coming of the doors. Unto ye, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I speak of excellent things, and opening of my lips shall be right things. And I'm not going to go. I'm going to go down to verse 13. It says, well, verse 11, Proverbs 8:11 says, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all that things that thou can desire are not to be compared to her. I, wisdom, dwell with the prudent and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, arrogance, and pride and arrogance, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom I am understanding. I have strength, you know. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princesses rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Listen to verse 17. This is wisdom speaking. It says, I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. So when you seek after wisdom, you're going to also get riches, and you will walk in honor. Amen. And I'm going to go to the next one, which is number 2. I spent enough time on wisdom, but it's the principal thing. The next way, or the next step in building honor, is humility. The second way you build honor is to walk in humility. Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Read that again. The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. That's Proverbs 15:33. Listen up. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's spirit to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and anointing totally to God. One more time. Humility is the sum total of the capacity of a person's spirit to submit totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. Amen. Your soul, your gift, and your talent totally submitted to God. Humility helps you submit to what God has called you to do, and who God has called you to serve under. That's so very important. The sum total of humility is your spirit, your body, your soul, your gifts. as it is submitted to God. Humility is when you can say, God owns me. You know, he owns me. In other words, Lord, you can do whatever you want to. Does God own you? Amen. When you submit or walk in humility, you walk in submission and alignment and align yourself under the mission of the agenda or the vision of another person. Amen. The word sub means under, like a submarine. So when you submit, you walk in submission, you walk in alignment, or you're aligning yourself under the agenda or the mission or the vision of another person. You use your anointing, your gift, and your talent to undergird, uplift the agenda, the vision, the mission, and support the ministry vision of another. You have no side agendas, no hidden agendas, no ulterior motives when you walk in humility. A person's power must be seen in their humility. When you are weak in your own strength, you become strong in Christ. Amen. You take up on his strength. We're going to go, and we've already talked about this earlier, but in Numbers 12, verse 3, in lesson two, Miriam and Aaron attacked Moses and criticized him for marrying the Ethiopian woman. You guys remember that. In their criticism, they dishonored the man Moses. But let's look what God authorized Moses to put in the scripture after Aaron and Miriam had said, does not God speak by Moses alone? In other words, we can hear from God to Moses. But this is what God permitted Moses to put in scripture. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which was on the face of the earth. So now God is calling Moses meek. Now, the word meek is a correlation to humility. And meekness can't be, mistaken for weakness. A lot of times you would see a person and you say, oh, they're very meek. And then you think because they're meek and they don't say anything and they're quiet and, they have an upright heart that they're weak, they're get over. But, you know, if they're meek in Christ, you're not going to get over them because God is going to give them the wisdom they need. So don't mistake meekness for weakness. The main thing to keep your integrity and your anointing intact is to walk in the spirit of humility around all people. Because if you walk in any other spirit other than humility, you give legitimacy to the individual that has attacked you, and God cannot fight on your behalf. Okay? Don't get in the flesh. You have to fight your own battles now, because you've allowed a different spirit to stand, and now you have to fight in your own strength. You know, the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's. And when you walk in true and total humility, God will fight your battles for you. Amen? All right. So the second way to build honor is by walking in humility before the Lord, walking in humility before the individuals that are around you. The more mature you become, the more humble you will walk before God. All right? So the more mature you become, the more humble you're going to walk before God. Number three, walking in the spirit of integrity and uprightness of heart. This is an important one here. The third way to build honor is by walking in the spirit of integrity and uprightness in conduct. Integrity is the quality of being honest, having good moral behavior and principle and value, virtues and righteousness and honesty. Proverbs 26:1 says, the spirit of integrity, this is what integrity is from a spiritual perspective, as the snow in summer and as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. In other words, foolishness and honor don't run together. The word foolish there has to do with your inability to walk in the spirit of honor. So people who walk in foolishness can't walk in honor. So that scripture says, as the snow in summer and as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. So honor and foolishness don't run together. In other words, wise men know how to conduct themselves. So the third way to build honor is by building upright conduct everywhere you go. Your conduct must be upright. You must be a man and a woman of integrity, moral integrity, not trapped in any type of sex, vice, or sin, or immorality, or immoral conduct, homosexuality, lesbianism, inordinate affection. Amen. Let's look at Colossians 3 and 5 in the Amplified Bible. It's going to back up what I just said. So it says, kill, deaden, and deprive the power, the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses, and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, sex, vice, impurity, sensual appetite, unholy desire, and all greed and covetousness. For that is idolatry, the defining of self and other created things instead of God. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, that's why it's so important. The Bible says to mortify, therefore, the members which are upon you on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evilness, covetousness, which is idolatry. Amen. All right. And I'm not going to go into the definitions of all of those, but it's so very important that we walk in moral integrity or uprightness of heart. Amen. That's the uttermost. I'm going to move on now to number four, which is the fourth way to build honor is serving to produce honor. Serving is the fourth way to produce honor. Serving your man of God, serving your pastor. Amen. Proverbs 27:17-18. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored, who serves favorably. I'm going to read Proverbs 27:17-18 again. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. So the way to build honor is serving. Serving produces honor. Serving will produce honor. Elijah, or if you are an Elijah, I'm just using this as illustration. If you can serve Elijah, you can reap the seed of honor. Joshua, if you are Joshua. If you can serve a Moses, you can benefit by receiving honor. David, if you can serve Saul, you can reap the benefits that honor has to produce. The scripture says iron sharpens iron. In other words, metals that are compatible to each other complement each other when they work together and they function together. Mixing together metals becomes a stronger compound. Amen. It creates a sense of balance. In other words, if you are a stronger metal to a lesser metal, you have to understand the way those function so that you don't destroy somebody who has a lesser gift, but you sharpen them. Iron will sharpen iron. Amen. But when you where you elevate them to where you can sharpen them and not destroy them. You know, you want to always elevate somebody. And serving will definitely cause you to be elevated. The individual that keeps the fig tree. In other words, if you understand what or who produces fruit in your life, and you protect the fruit-bearing agencies of the life by honoring the fruit-bearing agencies, you reap the benefits of what you have nurtured. Let me read that again, because it says a lot. He then also says that an individual that keeps the fig tree, in other words, if you understand what or who produces fruit in your life, and you protect the fruit-bearing agencies of your life by honoring the fruit-bearing agencies. In other words, the person that's producing fruit in your life, you will reap the benefits of what you have nurtured. Amen? Amen. Most of all, if you will serve somebody, if you will serve an apostolic father, a prophetic father, or your pastor who you serve under, if you will, serve under apostolic government, if you will serve in the area of ministry, the Bible says you shall be honored. Listen up. Whoso keepeth the fig tree eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth serves on his master shall be honored. Serving produces honor. Amen. I'm just looking at some things, looking at my time. We'll go to number five. Number five, the fifth way of producing honor is obedience and submission. 1 Peter 3, 6 and 7. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, honoring, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Amen. So he is saying here that Sarah obeyed Abraham. She honored Abraham. Likewise, her husband honored his wife. Okay? And in the area of obedience and submission, one of the steps is submission will produce honor. Obedience and submission will cure honor. In 1 Samuel 15, Saul offered the sacrifice, and Samuel said to him, obedience is better than sacrifice. You have sacrifice, you have obedience, and then you have submission. Watch me carefully. Obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience. And here's why. I can't say to somebody, go and get me a glass of water. He may obey me, but he may not be totally submitted to me. He may fetch me the water in obedience, but he may be disregarding and hate me in his heart. So obedience is better than sacrifice, but submission is better than obedience. Sarah obeyed, but she also submitted to Abraham. So the way to build honor by submission and obedience. Mary said to the servants in John chapter 2, whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. Because submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural or for the miraculous. Submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural or the miraculous. Submission is the breeding ground for the supernatural. If you submit to the Lord, miracles will take place. So in these first five that we talked about, the first one we said, and we know wisdom will produce honor. You know, humility is the sum total of a person's spirit to submit itself totally to the Lord, or totally to the power of God, submitting your gift, your talent, and your anointing totally to God. And we just stated that obedience is better than sacrifice, but obedience is better than submission. We talked about protocol. You are observing protocol when you honor the gift in men that God has placed in the body of Christ, giving honor to whom honor is due. We talked about keeping the fig tree, that if you keep the fig tree and you wait, that word wait means to serve. Serve your master shall be honored. The scripture shows the example of serving to produce honor. Amen. All right. That should cover everything in this lesson. Next week, we're going to go into the next five areas of what it takes and how to build honor, because we want men and women who know how to build honor, who know how to walk in obedience and respect towards
their spiritual fathers, their apostolic leaders, their pastors, so that they can truly build honor. And with that said, I'll see you next week. Amen.